All right. They got some new funky music on that thing. That was fun. Hey, I want to introduce, my name's Mark, and I'm one of the pastors here at True North, and we live stream this gathering. Would you give it up for those watching live stream right now, we're so glad they're here. But I want to take the moment here to introduce, we have some new team members, some new staff members that have joined us, and so with the Geralds come up here, and Cole, would you come up real quick, so excited about how God has, for 6 years or 7 years for me, continued to bring the right staff. Here at True North, we don't own any of the calls on the pastors on our church. God calls them, and some are here for a season, and God calls them somewhere else, and we're so proud and excited that we have some folks joining our team here, one is Cole Gross. Cole, where are you from? He's an Alaska boy and spent some time studying for ministry over in a warm area called?
Yep, down in Sydney, Australia.
Down under, okay? Down under, and so there's the lower 48 and then there's the down under. But Cole spent some time at Hillsong College in Hillsong in Australia and then spent some time with the kids ministry there, was on staff there with Hillsong, and you lost your visa during COVID.
So
we love COVID for that reason.
It was awesome. Yeah, it worked
out
great.
We gained from COVID.
Yeah.
And so, Cole, you're here, and what's your role going to be here?
Yeah, so I'm going to be the elementary director there, helping out with kids ministry along with Alyssa and the team there. Pretty pumped about it.
We're super excited for you. And if you're here and you've kind of been thinking, man, should I get plugged into kids ministry or whatnot, Cole would be someone, again, comes from a small church of multiple thousands, to come over here to work with us. We're so honored that you would say yes, that you'd come. Cole, we're proud of you. Looking forward to getting to know you. And then we have Matt and Jen Gerald. Matt and Jen come from Southeast Alaska.
Originally from the little state of Texas.
I wasn't going to bring that up because we don't care about Texas. I mean, no. God bless Texas.
We had no idea about this Texas-Alaskan rivalry when we first moved here, but Alaska is in our blood now. Yeah. We are Alaskans. God called us to Alaska in 2006, actually. At the end of that year, we moved in 2007. We were serving in Wrangell, Alaska, working with teenagers the last 25 years. And my wife and I, we've been married for 28 years now. We're growing old together. Well, I'm doing my part.
They got She's married not doing hers, teenagers, but we won't hold that against them.
Yeah, absolutely. So. But we are so excited. We're not just moving here because, hey, Fairbanks would be a great place to just move to. We feel called to partner with this church, with this community, with the staff, Pastor Mark and Heidi. We're just so excited to be here. We left one kid and grandkid and one on the way back in the Wrangell area. And then we have two kiddos here. One of them's married to their oldest daughter, Bryce. You may know him. And then we also have Abigail. Abby is around here somewhere. Oh, she's working. Yeah, she's back there. We did not follow our kids, but God called us here. It just kind of worked out that way. We're going to be doing a lot of work with, honestly, I don't even know what I'm going to be doing. I'm just going to be truthful. We're going to do a lot of ministry with adults, and we're just excited about this new season in our life. And we're just blessed to be here. So thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of this amazing church.
Yeah, would you reach your hand out toward them? We're going to pray over them real quick. Lord, we thank you for this new staff, this new team. Guys, you continue to bring folks that you called to be here. God, we pray a blessing over Cole, over the Geralds right now. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to continue to be a bright, shining force for Jesus in Fairbanks and North Pole, the Tanana region, and God, the state of Alaska. We thank you for that. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks, guys. God bless you. Good to have you here. And if you have a chance to say hi to him after service, do that. And when you see him next week, say, hey, do you remember me? And Matt's got, I saw Matt scrolling through his notes on his phone. He's been writing names down and things like, okay, they have a good smile. They're missing three teeth on the left. No. And so you can remember people. But I want to take the time this morning and kind of recapture who we are at True North Church. When I say recapture, we haven't lost it, but COVID kind of had us, they shut the doors of the building, and then, we've got to get back in the fall. Let's kind of, we want to kind of center ourselves again and say, hey, this is who we are. This is what God's called us to be. And this is where we're going, and so I want to take some time. And if you have your Bible, it's also on the screen here. But one of the most, I think, profoundly riveting and leadership sermon idea, I don't want to say sermon ideas, texts in the Bible. In the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 11, we can look at that. It's where God tells a story, or Moses tells a story, the author of Genesis, about the building of the Tower of Babel. And we all look at the Tower of Babel as a bad thing. But there's a leadership truth in here that I think if we as people, if you're a business owner or a teacher in a classroom or a parent in your home, there are some leadership principles, or a pastor of a church, there are biblical principles here that if you build your life upon them, your home, your business, the Bible says nothing will be impossible if you do this. In Genesis chapter 1, let's look there. Verse 1, it says, "Now the whole world had one language and a common speech." In other words, they had a common lexicon. They said the same things with the same language. And it says, "As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and they settled there." Stay settled. So there's a group of people that somehow migrated. They were nomadic people, but they decided, you know, there's a group of people that all got to a place and said, you know, we've been moving all the time. Every time the snow flies, we kind of get ahead of it. Let's just settle here. And so they decided to settle, and it says this. They said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. In other words, they used to go to the quarry and they would hewn out stone. They'd haul it over. They would build with stone. And these folks said, you know, let's get creative. Is there an innovative, creative way to do the same thing in a new way? And they made bricks instead of stone. They used tar for mortar. They got creative. They got innovative. And it says this, "Then they said, come." And this is where it goes wrong. "Let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens." And here's their reason. "So that," that's motive, "we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we'll be scattered over the face of the whole earth." In other words, they came together, they settled. They had what? They had one language. They had a common speech. They began to build something, but their motive was what? They're innovative, they're creative, and they begin to build a tower to the heavens. Why? For a name for who? Themselves. It says this, verse 5, "But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower these people were building. And the Lord said, if is the language of possibility, if they keep doing this, this will happen. If, as one people, speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then," say then. It's the if and then. How many more know? You know, for teenagers, I got some that they're kind of doing online school right now. If you study, then you might get these grades. If you don't study, then you might get these grades. If and then. He says, if as one people speaking the same language, they've begun to do this, then here's God's commentary, God's conclusion. Nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. If as one people speaking the same language, they have a lexicon they share, there's certain things they rally around, and they've begun to do this work, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. The problem was, is what? They were building something that Jesus, God said, they'll do it. Why? Because they're speaking the same language. They've got a lexicon. There's unity. There's a camaraderie there. And if we continue to let them do it, what's he say? They'll do it. How many ever been to Vegas? Anyone here ever been to Vegas? I used to live in Vegas, and I traveled as an evangelist, and it was always quiet on the way out when I was rested, and it was always partying on the way in when I was tired. And they all like, I'm gaming. No, it's not, it's called gambling. It's called losing. It's not gaming. Anyone here like playing games? You're going to lose that? But I used to live there, and sometimes I'd drive down through the strip or walk into the casinos, not to gamble, but to look at what the creative minds of people can build if with unity and a passion. And it might have been the wrong motive, but it was still a motive. And then God goes on, come, let's go down and confuse their language. In other words, let's make sure they can't communicate anymore. How many want to know marriages fail right here at this point when they can't communicate anymore? The languages get confused and they're not on the same page saying the same thing. So they don't understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there all over the earth. And listen, and it says they stopped building. Say, stop building the city. I want to propose to you today that for your marriage or your business or for your home or for this church, there's a biblical truth here that I believe gives us the blueprint for how we can do something with God's help and do the impossible. How many want to know building a family in our culture today almost seems impossible, but if it's one people who speak the same language, you begin to do something, nothing will be impossible, the Bible says. And how many want to know God has a church he wants to build? In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus asks his disciples, asks Peter, who do people say I am? He said, well, some say the Christ, some say John the Baptist, some say this. He said, who do you say I am? He says, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. And what does Jesus say? Peter, you're right. And upon this rock, upon the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will what? Not prevail. In other words, you'll build something that's possible to not be broken into or can continue to move forward. That's the church of Jesus Christ. So today I want to talk about how do we at True North Church do something that people might think would be impossible in Fairbanks or Tanana or as Anchorageites would call Square Banks. How to do the impossible. I believe God has a dream for Fairbanks, Alaska, and Tanana, this whole area. And that's that none would perish, but all would come to repentance. How many believe that? He came to seek and save that which is lost. So I believe that together, True North Church. And when I say True North Church is not a logo. True North Church is not a building. True North Church is a group of people who come together. Because guess what? This building might get locked up someday. It got locked up a few months ago. But they never closed the church when they closed things down in Fairbanks, Alaska. Essential function was the church. You're the church. Not a building. So how do we do the impossible? If you're taking notes, number one, if it's one people. If there's unity, and I believe what I love about True North Church, we're in 7 years now, the unity that's at True North. I love the unity. I love our board of elders. In fact, life groups launch soon, and my board is my life group. We meet in our house, we break bread, we eat, we pray together, we grow together spiritually. But if it's one people, number one, number two, speaking the same language. So today I'm going to give you some lexicon for who we are at True North, because again, after COVID, let's come back and say, okay, who are we? Because if it's one people who speak the same language, number two, and begin to do something, say do something. Now, this isn't a prophetic word, but how many of you know the snow's coming? How many of you guys are excited about the snow coming? See, I go from one type of biking to a whole nother. There's landscape we can't ride bikes on right now because it's not frozen. How many snow machiners are excited about the snow coming? Can I get an amen? Hey, you know, here's the deal. Here's what I know. If as one people speaking the same language, we begin to do something. I pray True North Church isn't a blizzard. What are blizzards? So a whole bunch of flakes come together in a moment, they collide. And they stop traffic and they change life for a day or two until the plows can come through and snow plow. Well, that happens in Anchorage, but we still keep everything open up here. But blizzards change things for a couple days. I hope at True North we're not a blizzard. I hope at True North we're not a season. Where a season is when snow comes for a couple months and changes everything. I hope that True North Church is a bunch of flakes. Like, are you calling me flaky? No. But how many know every single snowflake is unique and creative and God designed and God made every flake different. Every one of you are different. God made you and gave you a shape, a spiritual gift, a heart, abilities, personalities, and experience. And that shape is unique. And by yourself, you don't make a big difference. But when we all come together and land at the same place with the same language at the same time, I pray we're not a blizzard or a season. I pray we're an ice age and we change history. When we all come together, I literally believe that we can disrupt the status quo as an ice age. When all of us come together individually, united, we can stop more than traffic. We can change cities. Anyone here believe we can do that? Or do you just want to be a part of let us four know more? We come to church, sing our songs, go home, and we're done. I don't want to be a church of saints and ain'ts. I want to be a church that makes a difference because Jesus, God came down and said, if as one people who speak the same lexicon and they begin to do something with that, nothing will be impossible. I believe over the next 20 years in Fairbanks, Alaska, if the Lord tarries, that God's going to call us and God is calling us as a church to do something that's special and rare and unique for this region. And I believe we can change the state of Alaska in Jesus' name. I believe that with all my heart. I don't believe we're here to pay bills. I believe we're here to make heaven richer and hell poorer. I believe that. So with that, I want to shift and I want to talk about some of our language, some of our lexicon. If it's one people who speak the same thing, we begin to do something. Nothing will be impossible. The problem is we have to be a do something church. Not a let's just say a bunch of talks and have some things on the wall that look really good. No, let's do something with what's on the wall. Number one, if you're taking notes, and I don't have a lot of time, I got to run through this because I could probably preach this type of stuff for days. I love talking about where we're going. Number one, and this is review for some of us. For some of you, it's new. Number one, we will do anything short of sin to reach people who don't know Christ. We won't sin doing it, but we will do anything short of sin to reach people who don't know Christ. To reach people no one's reaching, we will do things no one is doing. My mind goes to the story of the four friends who picked up the paralyzed man and couldn't get the man to Jesus because there's too many people in front of the door. And so they went up to the roof and they did something no one else was doing. They took a chainsaw, they cut through a ceiling, and they lowered a paralyzed man to Jesus because they'll do anything to get the guy to Jesus. At True North Church, that's why we live stream. And our goal is to live stream someday into every single prison in Alaska, every single correctional facility. Why? We'll do what no one's doing to reach people no one's reaching. That's why at Easter and COVID kind of messed it up this year. We had our pink mopeds all serviced up, ready to put bunnies on our pink mopeds, and we're going to ride them around town and with shirts that say, hop your tail in church for Easter. The first time we brought the pink mopeds out, people says, you know, Pastor Mark, I'm offended. I said, what do you mean? Well, you know Easter's not about bunnies, right? And I said, really? Oh, no, I messed up. I said, I know Easter's not about bunnies, but there's a whole lot of people dying and going to hell who think Easter is about bunnies. And if I can get them talking about church and thinking about Easter by putting a bunny on a pink moped, I will put a bunny on a pink moped because the True North Church in our lexicon will do what no one's doing to reach people no one's reaching. That's why we do 12 days of Christmas. That's why we do those things. We'll talk more about those as it gets closer. Number two, we will lead the way with irrational generosity. We truly believe it's more blessed to give than to receive. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it says, remember this, whoever, that means that whoever, that means you, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. God loves a cheerful giver. And listen to this, verse 8. And God is able, say able, to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. We believe at True North, we're more blessed to give than receive. We're a generous church. That's why we do a dollar offering so we can buy thermometers for the school. That's why we gave $10,000 to Crisis Pregnancy Center in town, or you know, the Find Out Free Pregnancy Center, to help them with some medical costs to buy a new ultrasound. That's why we do what we do. Why? Because we truly believe it's more blessed to give than receive. Number three, we are spiritual contributors, not spiritual consumers. The church does not exist for us. We are the church, and we exist for the world. Hear me. Church is not about us. Well, what about me, Pastor Mark? Well, it's time for you to serve, because there's people who don't know Jesus yet, and you might be the only Jesus they'll ever meet. And so get off the pew and start serving. Because when you're a consumer and not a contributor, you think everything's about you and your needs being met, rather than, hey, are there people out there beyond me that I can reach for Jesus? See, here's the reality. When you sit in the pew too long, you get pewy. We don't have pewy Christians here, right? We don't have consumers, we have contributors. A consumer says, well, I don't know if I got fed at church. You know, I have four daughters, and they've been kind of boring. My oldest daughter dated one guy and got married to her. Him. Thank you. That makes a big difference in our culture. My daughter married one guy, and they haven't dated much. They haven't gone to dances. I'm not against them going to dances. I went to dances as a kid. But I can tell you right now, never has my daughter says at 16, 17, 18, or 20, Dad, could you come with me? My boyfriend invited me out to Pump House, and I don't know how to cut my steak. Number one, she probably wouldn't order steak, so she'd say, I don't know how to cut my chicken. Now, how many want to know, I haven't trained my daughter up right if she can't cut her own steak or chicken at the age of 16, right? Now, my six-year-old, Fulton, you know, I'll cut his steak up right now because I don't want a knife in his hand. You come to church to grow and to be filled up so you can go out. But I tell you right now, if you're not in your Bible on your own, and you're not plugged into a life group on your own, you probably aren't. If you assume for me to provide a week's worth of substance in an hour on Sunday morning, you probably found the wrong church. Because it's not all about us. It's about reaching lost people too. Does that make sense? Church is not a place you go get fed. Church is a place that you get encouraged and rallied. Don't forsake the assembling of yourself together. Church is a place where you come as contributors, and together we get involved. Now, there's not as much football being played right now, and football's not having a whole lot of people in the stands right now, but the church is like a big football game where there's 70,000 people, sometimes watching 22 do all the work. And there's 22 people who desperately need to rest being watched by 70,000 people who desperately need exercise. We roll our sleeves up at True North and serve. We're contributors. Number four, we don't desire to be a mega church. We want to be a church with a large amount of micro churches with a mega vision. We never set out to have four gatherings. We never set out to be 1,000 plus. We 6 years ago at this time, there's 100 people in our church. We never dreamed we would grow as fast as we did. That was never our goal. That was never our plan. Although our plan was to make heaven richer and hell poorer and share Jesus with the city. That's always been our plan and always will be our plan. But the goal is not to be a mega church. The goal is to have a whole lot of small churches in people's homes called life groups and care groups, where together there's a group of people growing. That doesn't mean they'll be your best friend. What it means is you're praying together, you're studying the scriptures together, you're growing together, you know how to pray for each other. There's a care group a week ago where someone passed away, and that life group was the life group that literally scheduled the meals for this family. Another one, they had a miscarriage. They were there to cry with them. Why? And the larger we get, the smaller we must become. The Bible says in Psalms 27, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. God's asked us to be sharp. Don't be a butter knife. Be together. Let iron sharpen you. Get in groups. In fact, our women's encounter night and our men's encounter night are coming. Why? Because we want to speak into the lives of the women and provide a chance to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And men's group, the men's encounter, same thing. Encounter God at an altar. And from there, we're launching men's groups and women's groups. Why? Because we truly believe the best way to grow is in the community. And number five, we are faith-filled. Say faith-filled. Big thinking, bet the farm risk takers. We'll never insult God with small thinking and safe living. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says, and without faith, it is impossible. Say impossible. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So guess what? We better be faith-filled. Because if as one people speak in the same language and begin to do this, nothing will be impossible. So we must have the faith to do what God says is impossible. And that says, if you have faith, without faith, it's impossible. But if we have faith, it's possible to what? Please God. Anyone here want to build something pleasing for Jesus in Fairbanks, Alaska? Now, with that said, here's where we're at. A year ago, we purchased 11 acres on College Road. And our goal on May 8th, we'd scheduled May 9th, a groundbreaking to put in a foundation. But that's when the governor shut the state down because of COVID. And so we couldn't put a shovel in the ground this summer. We couldn't start a foundation on the 11 acres that we have on Airport Way. We purchased two properties. One is an 18,000, or almost a 19,000 square foot building in the front. Behind is 11 acres right next to Mike Chevron. And so we had to postpone the building program. And I'm a little bit discouraged until I realized, we have a 19,000 square foot building. Let's remodel it. And so we've got 100% architectural plans. Fire marshal, we just sent off the fee for the permits. And here in the next couple weeks, they've already dug the digging to put in the 6-inch water line. So we can have, don't ask me how the university had a building without a fire suppression system, but we won't go there. I just did, sorry. So we're gonna have the sprinkler system put in all that. But this next several months, we're remodeling that building. On Easter 2021, we're gonna launch a second campus over there so we can have two campuses reaching people for Jesus in our city until we have a chance to build the new campus. Anyone okay with that? And the way that's built is the way it's built, there'll be a sanctuary that seats 180 people. There's a separate kids sanctuary, all the kids' classrooms and nursery. Phase two, that's phase one, is to remodel existing building. Phase two is next summer to come out of the ground with a 32,000 square foot addition with a sanctuary and foyer. We'll use the building we're remodeling this winter for the kids' facility, phase two. And then phase three, we'll finish the kids' area out. Phase four and beyond, we believe that we'll have a full-time elementary school and preschool and daycare and kindergarten in our town, because there needs to be a strong Christian school in our community that's on the likes of the Monroe in town with a field house and a family life community center. And all. So long term, we'd love to have a thrift store or two in town, because we'd love to take the used clothes that we have in our church and put them on sale to sell to raise money. Thrifters Rock, which is Church on the Rock in Wasilla, has two thrift stores, and one of them until this last year was profiting 25 to 30 grand a month for missions. What would happen if we had a thrift store in town and the profit of that was not just for the operating expenses of a church, but was for missions in villages? We want to have, right now the state's approving our nonprofit, a second nonprofit that is True North Youth and Family Consortium, because someday we want to have an adoption agency, foster care system, and we want to begin to have a counseling center where Christian therapists would rent our office space. We'd pay for we'd give free counseling, free rooms to therapists to use, and we'd provide a secretary, but they would simply counsel our church folks, marriage counseling one day a week as part of their rent. So we would have 10, I'd love to have 10 counselors someday that can be here to help the military in our community, those with PTSD, those with marriage challenges in Fairbanks. How many guys think God can win when Christians start investing in the marriages of our community? Now, with that said, I want to show you real quick. Some of you have seen it, some of you haven't. We edited it down, shortened it a little bit. But I want to show you the building that we're believing. We're going to bet the farm. That yes, we're going to do a capital campaign next September. We don't know what the economy looks like, but we're faith-filled. Bet the farm risk takers at True North. And we don't know what the economy looks like, with or without Princess Lodge open, with or without cruises in Fairbanks, Alaska, with or without that. I believe God still wants to build a great church in Fairbanks, Alaska, who speaks the same language, who begins to do something, because nothing is impossible when that happens. Take a look at what God's going to help us do. Now, I want to remind you, we don't build buildings, we build people. But in Fairbanks, Alaska, you need a building to put people. Anyone excited about what God's going to do in Fairbanks, Alaska? The sanctuary will seat 750 to 800 people. People say you should build it bigger. And I think that in Fairbanks, Alaska, we'd rather do multiple gatherings and have even bigger than 750. Although with a stadium seating, you can shut the lights off in the back, and the bottom floor seats 350, which is 150 more seats and sit right here on the main floor here. And so it's not going to feel like this vast, vast auditorium. It's going to feel like a family. Church, I believe our best days are ahead. And again, we don't build buildings. We build people. We build people. But we also know that our staff, you have to somewhat steward it and realize that we have 4 or 5 services long-term is hard. But we will. In Easter, we'll plant a second campus. Some of you, God might call to go over there and direct the kids' ministry. Be the lead ushers. We'll have to duplicate, send some of our best people down the road. Not down the road because we're getting rid of them, but down the road to start another missions lighthouse that says, hey, there's hope here. There's hope here. And so pray with us. Ushers, if you come at this time, we want to wait on you for Lord's tithes and offerings. I want to say thank you. When I talked about the generosity, guys, church, we've had 6 years. We're in our 7th year now. And every single year, the bar curve goes like this. Our giving this year in tithes and offerings, even with COVID, is just got the latest board reports, $110,000 in tithes and offerings higher this year than last year at this time. I want to say thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your giving. It makes a difference. Missions hasn't stopped. They might have canceled school, but we haven't canceled missions. We haven't canceled supporting our missionaries, and God's doing great things. It's because of you. And I believe if there's one people speaking the same language, same lexicon, we begin to do something, nothing will be impossible. Now for your marriages, and I'll pray in a moment. Maybe in your marriages, you're not speaking the same language. You're not on the same page. You're not if there's one people. I believe if that happens in your business, finance, whatever you do, get on the same page with Jesus. As you give today, I want to say thank you. Again, it makes a difference. We've got a campus in Nenana. Right now, New Ixod is closed to us to travel. We do have, right now, 2 months worth of Village television programs we've been taking now and editing and with a smaller worship set. And those ready to go when the doors open. I met someone this last week who has a plane and goes into Village and says, Mark, he says, I'd like to find out the places that are open. And I'd love to help you. In those areas, identify and begin to plant some more churches, some more house churches. Don't always have to have a building. But your giving makes a difference. If you're here by chance and you prayed with me during communion, I'd be remiss if I didn't give you an opportunity to do this. We'd love to, if you pray that prayer to say, Lord, would you be my Savior and life leader? I admit, I believe, and I confess. On the side of your worship guide, there's a place to put your name, email, phone number, and check the box. I made a decision to follow Jesus today. If you did that, if you have a time to just fill this out real quick before the offering bucket goes by and drop that in the bucket, we'd love to connect with you. Just tear it off and, again, drop it in the bucket when it goes by. We promise not to sell to multi-level marketing companies. We want to connect with you. help you serve Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. I pray you'd bless the gift and the giver today. God, help us be wise stewards of the resources and generosity of this incredible church, these people, to help us do anything short of sin to reach people far from you, God, to be irrationally generous, to be bet the farm, risk-taking type church. Bless the gift and the giver. In your name we pray. Amen. Next Sunday, we launch a new series called The Daniel Dilemma. And it's how do you live full of grace and truth in a culture that's almost antagonistic and against the spiritual life that you have. How many want to know Daniel lived in a Babylonian culture and thrived in Babylon? And I believe the church is called to thrive in a culture. We're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. So next week, we start a series called Daniel Dilemma. We're going to talk about culture, talk about that. And that. Right after that series, we're going to go into a series on truth. And how do we make decisions that are right in a world that says this is the way you go? And so it's really a kind of a fall dealing with biblical literacy, dealing with how do we make decisions, how do we live and thrive in a culture that's antagonistic to our spiritual life. And so bring a friend next week. Let's believe God that God's going to give us wisdom from the scriptures to live in a world that's way different than our spiritual life is called us to live in. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I pray a blessing over everyone here. God, I pray as they go their separate way that they will impact their orbit, their sphere of influence. God, where they live, where they work, and where their passions lead them. God, we thank you for that. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church. God loves you. I love you. And there's nothing you can do about it. Have a great week. God bless.